Welcome back after a long hiatus to the WEW podcast. The Wrestling is Everything is Wrestling podcast, only on the Multimedia Men podcast network on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. It is so good to be back. We've been on hiatus for a little while, but we've had other podcasts. You might have heard of My Bloody Podcast, where we talk about horror films, or The Unbalanced Note, where we talk about music, or even mediocrity. But we haven't done a wrestling one in for a long time, but there's been so much good wrestling about. We're finally back, and we're gearing up towards SummerSlam, one of the biggest pay-per-views of WWE the entire year. I'm Brian Kluger with Boomstick Comics and High Def Digest and this Multimedia Men podcast network. And the co-host with the most, all the way in WrestleMania land. She's done it all. She's seen it all. She's worked out with them all. Angie, how are you?
Hi, everyone. I am freaking spectacular. I am excited to be back. It's been way too long. I am ready to talk some wrestling. Let's do it.
It's going to be fantastic. So SummerSlam's coming up in a couple weeks. On the site, boomstickcomics.com, if you go there, Angie is leading up a series of amazing articles on each match, what to expect with each match, the story behind each match, who will win, who will lose blood. It's going to be amazing.
Yes, go check that out. My first one was Roman and Brock. And this next one that I'm working on is AJ and Joe. And I'm just letting you know, I'm going to do them all. I'm excited about everything. And I'm going to let everyone know about it.
So, and we have to bring up beforehand, before we get into our NXT coverage, before we get into some vintage SummerSlam, because we're going to save our SummerSlam episode for later. But we're going to talk about NXT TakeOver Brooklyn Part 4, and which is coming up the Saturday before SummerSlam. And we're also going to be talking about past SummerSlams because they're kind of fun to talk about. But
we
all know that Angie is a superhero CrossFit maestro. And supposedly, I believe she's going to be working out with some of the pro wrestling superstars again in Brooklyn. Is this correct?
Well, at least one of them. Yes, that is correct.
Well, this one of them is your favorite person, right?
Yeah, it's my favorite person, my CrossFit Jesus.
Roman Reigns.
No. you're lucky that there's a whole, not in the same room with you right now. Otherwise, I would I'd backhand you all sorts of stuff. No, this will be my third time, a three-peat of working out with the one and only the man, Seth freaking Rollins.
When you see him come in the room, are you going to just yell, "Burn it down"?
No, because I have respect.
And I don't, folks. I don't. I would totally know that.
No.
Oh, that's funny.
No. He's, when he comes in the room or when I walk in the room, it depends on who gets there first. Because when I worked out with him in Houston, he was already there when I got to the box. But in New Orleans for WrestleMania, I got there before he did. So, it really depends on who's getting there first. But when he comes into the room and we're in the same room, I'm very respectful. I wait for him to come over to us or come over to me. And because he is surrounded by so many people who want his attention. You can only imagine how just exhausting that can be. So I try to be respectful of his space and his time. So, yeah. But I get to work out with him. But just so you know, yes, I am fangirling really hard on the inside every time I'm in the same room with him. It's just, I am amazing at hiding it or not amazing, and I just think I am. So,
so the last time you worked out with him, you said that somebody came in the room and like lifted a bunch of weight, and that person was John Cena, and you had respect for him for in the lifting room, right?
That is correct. I very much appreciate John Cena. See, I can't even get it out of my mouth. It's dirty. See, my tongue doesn't even want to work and form the words of respect for that man. But no, to watch John Cena lift is otherworldly. You know, from one athlete to another, I respect his lift game. I respect him. Ow, that burned a little bit. I think I threw up.
Folks, it's all an act. She secretly loves John Cena.
I do not.
It's so good. But yeah, you respect him. Cool. You respect him.
I do. I do. I highly respect John Cena because he has worked extremely hard to be where he is. And you don't lift that amount of weight without putting the work in. And that man can lift some weight. But I don't want to talk about John Cena. I would much rather talk about Seth Rollins. But, you know, that's a whole nother podcast for a whole nother time.
It's just amazing that you get to work out with him again. Very happy for you.
Thank you. It's, you know, yes, it's my third time, but I'm still excited about it as if it was my first.
That's good. That's good. It's very good. Let's talk about NXT TakeOver Brooklyn Part 4. For those of you who are just joining this podcast for the first time, NXT is part of WWE, but it's their developmental brand. And arguably, actually not arguably, it's the...
No, it's not arguably. It is best.
It's the best WWE program out there. It's on Wednesdays. Comes on for an hour, but it's all kind of like their developmental talent. It's like all the up-and-comers who are going to move to the main Raw and SmackDown and big pay-per-views on WWE. But arguably, not arguably, they are the best brand, but this is going to be NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 4, meaning it's going to be taking place in Brooklyn. And we're going to talk a little about the matches, which there's 5 matches, and right now, I mean, if it's anything from when they did WrestleMania a couple months ago to now, it's insane how good this is going to be. So let's break it down. Let's talk about Velveteen Dream versus EC3. This is a singles match, not for a title. EC3 is known as Ethan Carter III. I've seen him wrestle before. He's been in all the indies, but he is like, he's kind of like what you think a buff, very buff, muscular Ken doll would look like. And he kind of acts the part because he's like, I am so wealthy and rich. And
he's the 1%.
He is the 1%. And Velveteen Dream is actually Patrick Clark Jr., who was actually part of Tough Enough, WWE's reality show. And they liked him so much, they actually hired him. And Velveteen Dream might be one of the best things in wrestling right now. His character is something kind of like Ultimate Warrior. And
meets Prince.
meets Prince and all the craziest parts of Michael Jackson. And I don't know.
He makes it work.
He does. He's very flashy, but he backs up everything. This dude's a high flyer, a big muscular guy. This match is going to be insanely fun to watch. The what?
Extremely athletic, high flyer, not afraid to take chances, but can throw down.
Oh, yes. His character is amazing. I hope he never loses this character because he's like built it so well. Mm-hmm. I don't know where there is else for him to go, but yeah, Velveteen Dream and EC3 are, and I think this match is just going to be insane because both of these guys are super built, super athletic. I do believe EC3 is more of like
he's more the powerhouse, like if you could call him that, but versus, he's thicker. than EC, or sorry, than Velveteen Dream. So he's bigger, got the bigger muscles. Velveteen Dream is more tall and thin, but still muscular.
Right.
So, I mean, there's definitely a power disadvantage that Velveteen Dream has against EC3 because EC3 is just stronger.
And I can see this being the match to start the night to really showcase, yeah, like, the craziness of how the whole rest of the pay-per-view is going to go. And I think it's going to knock people's socks off. There's going to be crazy stunts from the top rope. I think it's going to be insane. And I just can't wait till the day, till Velveteen debuts on Raw or SmackDown, because it's going to be so sweet. Too sweet.
Too sweet. You know, I could argue with you there, because I thought Tyler Breeze's debut was going to be freaking amazing. And I was actually there for Tyler Breeze's debut, and it wasn't that great.
Tyler Breeze, man, he's got the Fashion Police. He's doing well. Well, unfortunately, the Fashion Police is no longer as of right now because poor Fandango is out on injury, but they'll come back.
I will give Tyler Breeze credit for last Monday, though, trying to become Seth's partner. That was cute.
It was awesome. No. I liked it. But yeah, Velveteen Dream and EC3, basically a buff Ken doll versus Prince and Ultimate Warrior.
Warrior's love child.
Yeah. It's going to be insanely cool. Let's move on to the tag team match for the NXT Tag Team Championship. You have the Undisputed Era, Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong, versus the Mustache Mountain, who wants a mustache ride, raise your hands, which is Tyler Bate and Trent Seven. The Undisputed Era, I'm going to say it. This is like the hot new tag team. Everybody wants the Undisputed Era right now.
You know, I'm one of them I want them to win, because I've really just developed a love for the Undisputed Era. There is a give no F's attitude, and they know that they're good. And why hide it? I mean, if you really are great, why try to be humble? I mean, you're just lying at that point.
True. It's going to be a good match. It's going to be a hard-hitting match, because the Mustache Mountain is Tyler Bate and Trent Seven, and, like, formerly Pete Dunne, and this is basically like Shinsuke Nakamura strong style tag team. So it's like real hard-hitting.
But with an English versus Japanese flair to it.
Correct.
Because the English have a style of wrestling that is, like you said, strong style, but also more submission based, but I like the English style. It's nice. It's a throwback. That's what it is. It is a throwback.
It is. It's pretty fun. So the Undisputed Era is a current champs right now. And I just don't see Mustache Mountain doing it here. I think Undisputed Era still needs to have the championship for quite a while.
I agree. I definitely see the Undisputed Era walking out with the titles, because I think there's going to be some sort of dissension between Tyler and Trent. It just, I don't know. That's just the way I feel about it. I don't know. I'm not high on Tyler or Trent. I don't like Mustache Mountain. They annoy me. So I'm like, yeah, let's just let the Undisputed Era win.
Yeah.
That's cool. I need new contenders. Like, you know, War Machine. Hello.
Oh, I've seen War Machine fight too. Wrestle, and it's excellent.
Usually I get really excited about tag matches in NXT, because tag team wrestling in NXT is on another level. This particular match, I'm not. I mean, it's going to be cool to see Kyle and Roderick do their thing, and I have complete confidence they're going to take Mustache Mountain out. But, yeah, I'm not really high on this one.
Yeah, me neither. I'm
waiting for the next match.
Yes, me too. Like I said, it's going to be hard hitting for sure. It's going to be fun. Yeah. But
it's going to have some fun spots, but of all the matches, this one's going to be the one I'm least looking forward to.
Right. So yeah, Undisputed Era, we got your back.
Yeah.
Next match is for the NXT North American Championship, which is kind of similar to the Intercontinental or the USA Championship on the main card. And it's between Adam Cole, baby, and Ricochet.
Ricochet. So one and only.
If there was a wrestler who was an actual superhero, it would be Ricochet. Because Ricochet could legitimately do some superhero moves that you've seen like Spider-Man do. And a few other of the limber superheroes. Like, this dude does it all.
Like, if Neville was the man that gravity forgot, Ricochet is the man gravity never even thought of.
Correct. Like, yeah, that is a perfect description. And, yes, if you thought Neville, who is known for doing high flips off high objects onto people, Ricochet takes it to the next level.
He lands on his feet when he does it.
Yes. And like in superhero like falls and stances. Like it's insane. So Ricochet, you could picture Ricochet, it's basically a much skinnier but muscular Rock. If Rock was able to do like triple backflips off a top rope onto somebody on the mat.
Ricochet, there is no other like Ricochet. He is the epitome of what it is to be a superhero without being a superhero. Exactly like you said, he needs his own comic book.
He does. And you know what? Because like when AJ Styles came to WWE, he didn't have to go through NXT. And I feel like out of everybody here, Ricochet did not have to go to NXT. However, he is, because he's so good. He's been in the business for so long.
Yes, others may know Ricochet as Prince Puma from
Lucha
Underground. Ricochet has been all over the world competing. So one of my favorite matches, YouTube, AJ Styles versus Ricochet. You want to see something that is a work of art? Go watch a match.
Right. It's great. And I've seen Ricochet, I've seen EC3, and I've seen Adam Cole in person at indie shows, and it's excellent. It's just excellent.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it, because, hey, I'm going to be in Brooklyn. I'm not just going to work out with Seth, you know. I'm going to NXT.
Yes, she is. And you know what? This match is going to be so much fun, because so many people love both these guys, Ricochet and Adam Cole, even though Adam Cole is like the huge heel here, but he's
I said he's a heel since when?
Well, Adam Cole and Ricochet, I mean, the whole thing with Ricochet, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. He's too loved.
He is. That's what I was going to say. It was like he's reached a point already in his early career that no matter what he does, people are going to love him.
Yes.
It's like where the Miz is right now. No matter what Miz does and how assholey heelish he can be, everybody's going to cheer for the Miz.
Yeah, that's true.
So, because we love him. But yes, Adam Cole and Ricochet expect crazy.
Be match of the night candidate.
Yes.
But we've got two other matches that could be match of the night candidate.
Yeah, so moving on to the other match that is probably going to be the match of the night, because it's a triple threat match for the NXT championship. Basically, Tommaso Ciampa, the current champion, and Johnny Gargano, Johnny Wrestling, they've had two matches in the past and are arguably probably the best matches in the last 5 years. The story was built up, so they're fighting yet again. However, they've added one of the best wrestlers in NXT to it for this triple threat, Aleister Black, who I believe is like a hair away from being Seth Rollins in the eyes of Angie.
No, nobody could ever be Seth Rollins. He's more close to taking AJ's spot in my heart than anybody.
Okay.
Nobody will ever take Seth Rollins' place. Ever. Okay?
Okay. Whoa. Not even John Cena.
Especially not John Cena.
So what do you think about this? You have Ciampa and Gargano yet again, and they put on the best matches. They have the best stories. They work so well together. And now we're going to throw in Aleister Black into the mix, who I feel like people might die in this match. I really think so. I really think somebody might die. There's going to be weapons of some sort. There's going to be betrayals. I don't understand how this is going to work.
See, when you said people might die, I thought you were talking about the crowd, because this match is going to be that amazing.
And you know, that might actually happen. Somebody might pass out in the audience, fall down the stairs. I don't know.
I might fall out and die, you know, because like you said, Johnny and Tommaso, I think they've given one of the only 5-star matches that has been, you know, given to WWE in a long time. The story that these two have told together, the roller coaster of emotions that we've been on with the last 2 takeovers and everything in between with these two, or all the way going back to their original breakup. I mean, these two and back before that.
So yeah,
with the Cruiserweight Classic, I mean, so these two men have had the NXT heart
for a long time.
Of everybody, for everyone. And to see the story of what has happened between the two is just been, it is beyond words,
so
honestly.
Ciampa,
and then you're going
to. Yeah. So basically.
And then you're going to add Aleister Black to that, who is arguably one of the most talented men in NXT right now. I mean, he's only been pinned once by Tommaso Ciampa. And that was only because of Johnny's distraction. You know, I mean,
I agree. I think, so for those of you who don't know who Ciampa and Gargano are, Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano, these two were like a tag team, and they were an excellent tag team. They were friends, they were best friends. And then about a year ago, Ciampa turned on Gargano and completely beat him to hell. And then, like, he was out for a while. He had crutches, he had, you know, all this stuff. And they've had 2 matches since then. And these matches were brutal, emotional, and they told these stories of, like, these two friends who just hate each other now. And now they're fighting again with Aleister Black, who's kind of like the goth guy. Or not goth guy. I don't know. He's not the goth guy. He's just, well, how do you explain Aleister Black?
Aleister Black is neither good nor evil. He's more neutral, but goth is a good way to put it, because he does play in that darker side. He's not afraid of it.
He like rises from the ground, like from a coffin, basically. And but he's a really good wrestler, and he tells a good story in the ring. And just to have this triple threat, I have no idea, because Champ and Gargano work so well together. I have no idea if they're going to be thrown off or not with Aleister Black in there.
Their technical skills, their athletic ability, the things that they can do with their bodies just individually is amazing. And to put the three of these men together, it's going to make the roof explode with talent. The building is not going to be big enough to hold the talent that these three men have.
Right. No, I agree.
So this is probably, I know what I said about Ricochet, but this match is probably going to be match of the night. I'm calling it right now. And as far as who I think is going to win.
Who's going to win?
Really, really hard call. But
who?
I think Ciampa retains.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how this works out.
I think Ciampa's gonna retain. I think it's gonna be freaking awesome, and I think he's gonna wave his way to all the boos, because everybody hates Tommaso.
Yes, and he plays this heel character in and out of the ring. It's so great.
He's entertaining. I love him.
He really is. All right. That's the NXT champion. The other match is the NXT Women's Champion singles match between the current champ, Shayna Baszler, who was former UFC material, versus Kairi Sane. Kairi Sane, otherwise known as Kairi Hojo. And I think these two, I mean, when you look at it in real life, Shane is probably going to kill Kairi Sane. But in the wrestling world, these two are just going to be hard-hitting, hardcore women going to battle. What do you think?
I think
First off, before the podcast started, you said something about Shayna Baszler, didn't you?
I wondered if you were going to make me repeat that.
Yes, I am.
Okay, I love Shayna Baszler. She is amazing. I would have her babies.
She's into Muay Thai, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. She was in the UFC, MMA type stuff.
I mean, she is beyond amazing. You know, I have a well-documented love of Charlotte Flair. You know, I've sang Charlotte's praises for a good long time now. I think Shayna is my new girl. I'm trading in the queen for the queen of spades.
Wow. Official. Look at that.
But this match is probably the one that I am most looking forward to because it's a rematch of the finals of the first Mae Young Classic. And at that time, Kairi, she was victorious. Now, Shayna has since beat Kairi, and I have no reason to believe that Shayna won't beat her again. Kairi is too emotional, and you know, she's letting her emotions get to her. And I don't know, it's, you know, just she's not gonna do it. The pirate princess is gonna get sunk by the queen of spades.
Dang.
That's you know, my expert opinion.
Wow.
And still, your NXT Women's Champion, Shayna Baszler.
Well, yeah, I don't think Shayna Baszler is going to lose to Kairi Sane just because she's going to be in NXT for a little while, at least until next year, and then she'll move up, and it'll be that they'll probably after the whole Charlotte and Ronda Rousey armbar versus armbar storyline. They're going to bring in Baszler, and it's going to be the UFC versus UFC into the WWE.
Charlotte has a figure four or figure eight. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but Charlotte has an armbar move, doesn't she?
Becky.
I thought Charlotte had two.
Nope. That's Becky. You're still thinking of one of the four horsewomen of NXT. It's Becky. Becky has the disarmer, which is an arm.
Well, somebody's going to do an armbar versus armbar, or it's going to be Charlotte versus Ronda. Something's going to happen. There's going to be a good story there. But mark my words, when Baszler moves up, it's going to be Baszler-Rousey, UFC style.
It's going to be glorious.
It's going to be awesome. So,
yeah. Wait, that's Bobby. Never mind.
Yeah, watch out for that for sure. It's going to be super cool. This NXT takeover is just shaping up to be so good. I'm very excited. I don't think there's going to be any other matches announced unless they announce, you know, like pre-show type stuff or one more match. But this card is stacked. Keep it like this and we're good, I think. Unless they're going to debut somebody. I don't know. Because I'm really waiting for Limitless Keith Lee to make an appearance. So
he's supposed to make his debut on NXT. Tomorrow? But I could be extremely wrong.
Okay, well, that'd be awesome if he gets a spot here on NXT. Holy God. Because Keith Lee... I've seen Keith Lee several times wrestle in the indies, and Keith Lee is like basically like Mark Henry, but can do like backflips off the top rope onto people. He's a big dude and he's a high flyer and super fun to watch.
Yep.
So here's the Keith Lee hoping
that, NXT.
Yes, NXT coming out in Brooklyn. Angie will be there.
I'll be there. Come find me. Come say hi.
Yes. August 18th coming up. It's going to be awesome. But we're not going to talk about SummerSlam too much, really, as far as this year's. But we're going to talk about a couple years of SummerSlam just for fun. I got to bring up, because I've been watching SummerSlams throughout the past years, gearing up for this SummerSlam, as I always like to do with certain pay-per-views. And I had to watch, Angie, I had to watch SummerSlam 1991.
Oh, wow. When you said old school, you were really going old school. You didn't warn me about that one.
SummerSlam 1991. Do you remember?
What I didn't even watch wrestling at that point.
Well, have you seen it? Have you watched it?
No.
So SummerSlam 1991, for those of you who remember or may not remember, this was famous. This one was famous because it had the on-screen actual wedding of Macho Man Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth.
Oh, that's sweet.
Dubbed a match made in heaven by announcer Gene Okerlund. It's pretty amazing. That actually happened. They both got married in the ring. It was really fun.
Is this where I inform our listeners that I'm not really into all that mushy stuff?
Yeah, but in this wedding, you know, Jake the Snake Roberts comes out and frightened Elizabeth, and that's when the Undertaker, a very young Undertaker, attacked Macho Man Randy Savage in the ring.
On his wedding.
On his wedding day. It's crazy. it's crazy. And then, so that was like the big thing of that, but the main event of that night was called A Match Made in Hell. To go with a match made in heaven. And the main event was a handicap tag team match between Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior against Sergeant Slaughter, General Adnan, and Colonel Mustafa.
Wow.
And it was Slaughter's final on-screen appearance. Final on-screen appearance as the Iraqi sympathizer, which was really funny because Sergeant Slaughter became like, became one with, Colonel Mustafa, or otherwise known as the Iron Sheik. So this was right around kind of the Gulf War time. So they were playing into that whole thing, which was super fun, right?
Sure.
But we had that. But one of the first matches of the night was a six-man tag team match, and that was the British Bulldog, Ricky Steamboat, a Texas Tornado, other known as one of the Von Erichs, against Power and Glory, which was Hercules and Paul Roma. And Ricky Steamboat came out in a big dragon costume with a fire torch and blew fire in the air. It was brilliant. Brilliant. Bret Hart beat Mr. Perfect. And then an interesting tag team match, the Natural Disasters, which was Earthquake and Typhoon, who Jimmy Hart came out with. They beat the Bushwhackers, which the Bushwhackers came out with Andre the Giant. Can you imagine Andre the Giant with the Bushwhackers?
No, I actually can't, because, I mean, the only vision I have of the Bushwhackers in my head is like, when they are swinging their arms around, and then they're with Andre the Giant. Did they hit him?
So, you know? So the Bushwhackers are basically Duck Dynasty, but on tons of meth. And that's how you describe them. And then if you picture that with Andre the Giant being Andre the Giant, it just doesn't make sense, but it's really funny.
Dude, I'm going to have to go watch this just for that.
It's super, you know, funny.
So screw the wedding that was all sweet and blah, blah, blah. I'm not into weddings. But
it was,
I got to go see this.
Oh, yes. And then, of course, Virgil, our dear, crazy, insane, wacky friend Virgil, defeated Ted DiBiase, the $1 Million Man, for the $1 million championship. Virgil finally got justice. It was super funny and super fun. But yeah, that's a super fun old school SummerSlam. A match made in heaven and a match made in hell. You'll see an old school Undertaker with Paul Bearer. It's super fun to watch. But yes, 1991 SummerSlam. Let's move on to the other one. We're going to talk about SummerSlam 2002.
Okay.
Which the WWE Undisputed Championship main event was between Brock Lesnar when he defeated the current champion at that time, The Rock. Do you remember this one at all?
It's been a very long time, but I did. I watched this one, and I remember. Okay, I didn't like The Rock. I still can't stand to watch the man wrestle because I can't stand his style. The little leg shake. Yeah. It's like watching nails on a chalkboard in my ears. But I did not like Brock Lesnar at this time. Like, I legitimately did not like him. And so when he beat The Rock, I just like, all right, this pay-per-view sucks. But then let me say, I was a senior in high school, so I'm aging myself, guys. And so I didn't quite know how to deal with these emotions. I mean, it was just, I really did not. I remember not being happy with this pay-per-view because nobody I wanted to win won.
So, yeah, you have little Spike Dudley defeating Steven Richards. You have Kurt Angle defeating Rey Mysterio. Ric Flair defeating Chris Jericho, Edge defeating Eddie Guerrero, Christian and Lance Storm, oh how I miss them, defeating Booker T and Goldust, which, by the way, speaking of tag teams, if you don't know about Booker T and Goldust tag team, they're probably one of the funniest tag teams ever.
Yes.
RVD beating Chris Benoit, who was a current champion, Undertaker defeating Test, may he rest in peace. And Shawn Michaels defeating Triple H in an unsanctioned street fight, which lasted.
That one also upset me.
Why?
Quite. Because Triple H was my guy.
That match lasted 30 minutes.
I wanted him to win. That's why it upset me. And then to have Brock beat The Rock, I was just like, again, like I said, nobody I wanted to win one. So I did not enjoy that pay-per-view at all because I was just like, everybody lost. I'm not watching this again. Thanks for dredging up these memories I had stuffed down. I need therapy. Thank you all for being my therapy session. I need to pay y'all money now because these memories are hurting my soul.
Yep.
That match lasts
30 minutes.
30 minutes.
Oh, I'm getting an echo right now. Did something happen?
No.
Weird. No, maybe not now. That was just for a second. That was weird. I was getting an echo right over here. Oh, well. But yeah, that match, Triple H and Shawn Michaels, ended with Triple H hitting Michaels with a sledgehammer, forcing Shawn Michaels to be carried away on a stretcher. Yeah. And then with Brock Lesnar and The Rock, Brock Lesnar became the youngest WWE champion until Randy Orton did it. But yeah, you don't know if you just started watching a few years ago wrestling, Brock Lesnar is not the same as he was when he first debuted in wrestling. Brock Lesnar was actually a real wrestler. Now he just kind of punches and does suplexes. No, he was way more than that back then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When Brock Lesnar first debuted, and I actually had this conversation with another wrestling friend of mine who made the comment of Brock Lesnar being a legit wrestler. He used to do more than just a suplex here, an F5 there, a elbow to the forehead to make you bleed. He used to do all the moves, some of the best matches he ever had. Like, go find the one where it's him versus Kurt Angle. Okay, maybe don't go find that one because he tried to do a shooting star press that did not end well for him. But everything up until that was really good. but yeah, go find matches of him when he debuted, his early time, when he wasn't quite the Beast incarnate yet, but the next big thing.
Right.
Yes. Go find next big thing, Brock Lesnar, and you can actually see the amazing things that he's able to do in the ring and how really he's just really good. And one of the things that is so frustrating is that he doesn't do that stuff anymore.
Yeah.
And to go back and watch it, you just see everything that he's not now. So
he's still kind of fun to watch, but yeah, I totally get that. Totally get it. Yeah, Brock Lesnar.
Y'all got the network? Go look up Brock Lesnar from 2002. 2002 Brock Lesnar is amazing.
Yep. True, true, true. But yeah, I'm just looking forward to this whole next couple of weeks of storylines in NXT and in SummerSlam. It's just going to be super, super fun. And we're going to be back. We're going to stop our show for this week because we don't want to go all in yet because we have at least two more shows before SummerSlam and we don't want to just blow the whole load here. So we'll be back next week for sure with more Raw and SmackDown storylines. We might see a return of Dean Ambrose. We might. But we're going to
talk. I'm not going to hold my breath.
Yeah, we don't know yet.
They're hinting at it. Something big though.
Correct.
I mean,
correct.
There's all these hints and the people want it and it's about that time for him to come back. If he comes back, it's probably going to be SummerSlam. That's my big prediction.
Right. I'm very excited about this and, we'll definitely be back. Because we're going to talk more about SummerSlam, and we're going to have more articles on Boomstick Comics.
Yes. Stay tuned to my articles. Find them. Talk to me about them. If you disagree, let's have a discussion, and I'll show you why I'm right and you're wrong.
Well, actually, I'm going to look at some of the comments real quick on Reddit, because it was posted on Reddit. And basically, the title says "A Guy to Reigns versus Lesnar at SummerSlam," and some of the comments are pretty funny. So, a guide to Reigns versus Lesnar. One person says, "Superman punch, Superman punch, Superman punch, Superman punch 100 times. F5, 1, 2, 3. It's over." that was funny. And then I guess in Angie's article, she put this match will be a car crash in human form. And somebody commented, that's one way of putting it, which I thought was funny. So you've gotten some comments on here. You there? I can't hear Angie right now. She might have gone away. I can't hear Angie. She is gone. She is lost. We miss Angie. But yes, a guide to Reigns versus Lesnar. We're going to do a guide to each match at SummerSlam. It's going to be awesome. We just hope for the best. And I believe that you can find Angie if you want to get in touch with her and talk to her about her CrossFit or any of her wrestling articles. She is pretty much on Instagram all the time under the mononym Angie Faye. Is it a mononym? I don't know. But A-N-G-I-F-A-E. Follow her. See her workout progress and her wrestling stuff. And she posts a lot of good stuff from Boomstick, too. She's just a badass. But yeah, that's Instagram. And I don't know why I can't hear Angie right now, but we miss her. Yeah, I know. She's telling me I can see her because we're talking, but I can't hear her. And it's so unfortunate because there's no audio on her side right now. But we're going to end this podcast. We're going to be back next week, and our audio issues will come to a better place. But we love Angie. Find her, Angie. @ifaye on Instagram. And find us on boomstickcomics.com. Watch her art. Watch for her articles, because there'll be a bunch of them. And we love you. We smell you. We like you. Wrestling is Everything is Wrestling. Multimedia podcast. Talk to you soon.